Good morning. It is great to see you here this morning, and I'm going to ask a question. Are you awake this morning? The reason I ask is that our bulletin is a little tricky this morning. If you will open your bulletin and take a quick peek, you will notice there are numbers at the bottom of each page. It does go in order, but it may not be logical to you. So page one is the front of the bulletin. If you will notice, page two is the back flap of the bulletin, and your insert today are pages 3 and 4. Does that work for you? All right, then let us rise to our feet and let us sing ourselves into worship.
Please be seated. And please join me in the call to worship. That is on one, and it will skip to page two, which is the inside of the back cover. In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was. Here and now among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purpose of heaven, God is. In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found its fulfillment, not denying the world, but delighting in it, not condemning the world, but redeeming it through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God was, God is, God will be.
Friends, welcome. Welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church in Stockbridge. Know that whether it is your first time here or whether you have been coming to this church for your entire life, we hope that you feel welcome here. We hope that you feel included. We hope that you feel like you are amongst old friends here in the midst of these old walls. We hope this morning, in fact, that you feel extravagantly welcomed. There is a German word for the kind of hospitality that we try to show here, Gastfrei, which literally means guest free. That term connotes a welcoming into a life that is shared. It says that you are welcome here to share my life, and I will share my life with you. I would want to share your joy and ask that you share my burden. It is a kind of hospitality that says we come together in common life and common purpose. It is what we understand our Christian journey to be about. And so know this, we are completely happy that you are here with us this morning. This morning we have an additional special welcome. And that is on this day, I bet you could guess it, that welcome goes out to all moms. Here on Mother's Day, we give thanks for mothers who gave birth. We give thanks for mothers who raised children. We give thanks for stepmoms and mother-in-laws. We give thanks for every person who assumed the mantle of motherhood, which means love, which means giving, which means caring. On this day, I give thanks for my mothers, and I pray that you do as well. If you are new among us today, we invite that you stay with us afterwards. Come through those doors and join us for some food, some coffee, and conversation. If you are new, we ask you to fill out one of these cards so that we might be able to get to know you a little bit better. I have a couple of announcements to make this morning, but I ask anyone else who has an announcement to come and gather around the microphone so that you might be prepared to make yours. First, you might have noticed the two groups of flowers here on our communion table this morning. The smaller group of white flowers are given in honor of Anne Brayman, longtime member of this church who passed away early Friday morning. We will be holding a memorial service in her memory, in her honor, and in celebration of God's love this coming Tuesday morning. It will be here in this room at 11 o'clock in the morning. Know that all are welcome, and it will be followed with a time, of course, of food, of fellowship, and of lunch in the JE room. Let us take a moment now to honor and to celebrate the life of Anne. Amen. Anne, rest in peace, beloved child of God. A couple of other quick announcements, because I see we have a few here. First is that you might have noticed we may be taking new members in once again. There's a number of folks who have suggested an interest. So if you are not yet a member of this church but think you might want to be, please let me know so we can schedule a conversation. Second, know that this room yesterday was full. It was a great day. Yesterday in the town of Stockbridge, we remembered the history of the Mohican people among us, and that day was finished here in this room with closing worship, a time of fellowship, and a time to remember that story. It was a good day. Also, if you have one of these, could you hold it up, please? I like that. That makes me very happy. If you don't have one of these, pick one up on your way out. These are the annual reports, and these are something that we would ask you to read between now and next week. And Joyce is here to tell you exactly why you should be reading.
I'm Joyce Hovey, clerk of the church. And I'm going to be reading the call for the annual meeting from the pulpit because the bylaws say the call shall be read from the pulpit 7 days prior to the meeting. To all members of the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in accordance with the bylaws of the church, I hereby call the annual meeting of the church for Sunday, May 19th, 2013, at 11 a.m. The business to be transacted is as follows. 1, election of officers and boards of the church. 2, celebrations and recognitions. 3, to act upon any other business that may legally come before the meeting. Joyce Hovey, clerk. Margaret Hornick, moderator.
I am Terry Wise, chairman of Mission in Action Board. And last Friday, 2 days ago, we had a really fun gathering here in the Jonathan Edwards room. And we ate lots of pizza and we signed letters to our elected officials. And we actually also watched a little video called The Story of Stuff. You can get that video on YouTube. Just put in your search, The Story of Stuff, or you can go to storyofstuff.com and you can get the same video and all kinds of other information. So I would encourage you to give that a try. Also, if you would just take a minute while you're getting your coffee and having conversation to go to the library table, there are stacks of letters on different issues, environmental issues, and each one has a note by it for the person that it should be addressed to. You put that person's name, President Obama, on one of them, and you know your legislators on others, and at the bottom, sign your own name and your physical address. And we will make sure they get sent to the appropriate people. So thank you very much for caring for our environment and participating in this effort.
And you may have noticed the carnations up here in the corner. This is a long-standing tradition in this church to present carnations to mothers in the church on Mother's Day. So they will be up here. You may be a mother. You may have a mother you want to get a carnation for. You may have a delightful memory of a mother who is no longer with you. But we would like to make sure that you have the carnation up here at the end of the service if you'd like to stop up here and get one.
We'll use the microphone closest to me. I'm Mary Hiltzel, represent the Prayer Shawl Ministry of this church, which meets on the second Monday, which is tomorrow, and the fourth Friday of each month at 10:15 in the morning in the Sunday School wing. And we share knitting, silence, some scripture, Celtic scripture, and visiting with one another. It's a lovely hour and a half if anyone would like to join us.
We have a lot going on in this church, something to be thankful for. Let us continue in worship, and we will do so by inviting all of the children to come meet me down here. So if you are a child, come on forward. If you feel like a child, come on forward. And you can have a seat right here. Well, good morning. Really? Can we try that again? Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you. So you know what? I had something exciting happen this last week. My parents came for a visit, and they live a very, very long way away. They live in a state called Wisconsin. Do you know where that is? It's a long way away. If you got in a car right now, you would drive an entire day without stopping before getting there. It's a long way away. So they came, and we had a great visit. We played games. We went on hikes, we made food, we laughed together, we had a good time. You know what my parents do when they leave? They do something kind of fun. They leave notes for me around the house to remind me that they were there. They leave little notes that I can find. You know what else they leave for me? my mom always leaves me a batch of chocolate chip cookies. She does. And she leaves them in different places, and I have to find them. Sometimes they're in the kitchen where you would think they would be. Sometimes they're in the bathroom. Sometimes they're in the laundry room so that when I go to do a load of clothes, there's a batch of cookies for me. And now, do you know why she does that? Well, she does it because I like cookies. But beyond that, she does it for another reason. She does it for me so that I will remember that they were here, so that I will be happy to remember that my parents were here. And that's the story from the Bible we're going to talk about today. Jesus, before he left his disciples, he gathered his disciples around him. And here's what he said to them. He said, I'm going to leave you for a little bit, but I don't want you to ever forget that I was here. I don't want you to forget that we had fun together, that we laughed together, that we worked together. And he said, I'm going to give you something better than cookies. Now, I don't believe much is better than cookies, but this actually is. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, what I give to you is the gift of peace. Not peas, but peace. Do you know what peace is? What the word peace means? What's that? Ask somebody. Anybody else know what the word peace means? It's a big word. We talk about it a lot, but what does peace mean? Do you know? Anybody know what peace means? Calm. What else might peace mean? Love. Absolutely. Anything else? Patience. Tranquility, that's a really big word. What tranquility means is that no matter what's happening around you, you still feel okay. You feel happy. So Jesus said to his disciples, I know life isn't always going to be easy. And so I'm going to give you peace. Peace that no matter what happens to you, you can still be happy. And you know what he asked his disciples to do then? He said, I want you to share this gift with everybody else. I want you to share peace with everybody else. Each and every Sunday morning, that's what we do here. We walk around and we shake hands to remember that Jesus was with us, to remember his love and to share his peace and joy. And so that is what we're going to do right now. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. To get up, I'm going to invite everybody to get up and share that gift of peace with one another. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Once you are done passing the peace, you can go to Sunday school. And so that we might invite tranquility more into our hearts, you may be seated to listen to these beautiful, beautiful bells.
Very beautiful. Thank you. The New Testament reading is from Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and may be found in your pew Bible on page 497 if you wish to follow along. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the disciples whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by him. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. May God add a blessing to the hearing of these words.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, friends, here we are. Today is the last Sunday of the longest liturgical season of the year. Today is the final Sunday of Easter. I'm going to ask you to break a couple of rules in my sermon. I know that will come as a huge shock to you, but I'm going to. First, I want to throw out there, I want to hear from you what your memories of this great Easter season has been. Lift up loudly a memory that you hold. Who has a memory from this past Easter season? Joyce. Flowering the cross on Easter Sunday. What else do you remember? The children. Always and everywhere. The children. What else? What's that? The string quartet and the beautiful music they brought. Elijah and the concert given here during the Easter season. Anything else? Yeah. Your mother coming and joining you for Easter. It was a beautiful week, and thank you all for such a wonderful, faithful service last week. It is still on my heart. Any other memories from Easter? Sure. Embarking upon environmental action, care for creation Sunday, and all that has come from it. So, friends, today is the last Sunday of Easter. And with it, I have some sad news and I have some happy news. One of the pieces of the sad news for me is that this quilt, this beautiful quilt made by the entire congregation and put together beautifully by Terry, it comes down. And I, for one, am going to miss it. Amen. More sad news is that we're going to leave the glorious Easter hymns that we have been singing each and every week behind in our hymnals for next year. But there is some happy news about leaving Easter. First, there is happy news for the choir. Choir, you will no longer need to worry about whether you are wearing white stoles or whether you are wearing red stoles. For starting next week, you will be in red for a long, long time. The second piece of good news goes to Madonna. Now, if you remember back when we started on our journey toward Easter on that first Sunday of Lent, Madonna brought all the kids up here to teach them in the bulb there is a flower. Remember that? And she talked to them about seasons of the year, and she listed both the seasons outside and she listed church seasons. And if you remember at one point, she said there is a season called ordinary time. And Madonna said, I have no idea what that is.
But Pastor Brent is going to tell us.
Now, the good news, Madonna, is that next week is Pentecost. But after that, we will enter ordinary time all the way until Advent. And you're going to discover ordinary time is not ordinary at all. But before we leave this season behind, we are still have one last Sunday to enjoy it. Now, you may have missed a major religious holiday this week. I will forgive you if you did not notice. But on this past Thursday is a day that is observed by the church around the world. On Thursday is the day of Ascension. 40 days after Easter, the book of Acts says. 40 days after Jesus had gathered with his disciples, teaching them many things, showing them many great signs. Jesus gathered his disciples, and he ascended into heaven. If you heard what Mary said, it's a story of being lifted up by the clouds and being whisked away. The kind of story I think that modern smart people like us can struggle with at times, wondering just where Jesus went and just how he got there. But to focus on that would be to miss the importance of this story and the importance of the fact that this story of ascension is in the Easter season. The story of ascension is tied hand in hand with Easter. Without this story, the Easter story itself is incomplete. Jesus' journey of incarnation, teaching, leading, suffering, death, and resurrection is not yet done. Without the story of the ascension, there is a critical piece that is left out. Now, I bet that if I asked you another question, and I'm going to, I know what you might say. But I'm going to go ahead and ask this question anyway, and I'm going to ask you all to answer at the same time on the count of three. If I asked you for a single word that describes God or an attribute for God, what would that word be? I want you to think for just a second, and then I'm going to count to three, and then say it. One, two, three. I heard some other things, which I'm happy to hear, because I think God can never be described by any single concept, but I heard a whole lot of love. God is love. There's a theologian with a German name. A lot of theologians have German names. Jürgen Moltmann makes this claim that God is, in fact, love. That the essence of God is to love. And the essence of love is to live and to give life. To live and to give life. When we love, we both live and we give life. He says those two things are important because if God is indeed love, one of the things God would naturally and have to do is give life. Thus, the great act of creation. To love means we cannot sit still. We need to give life, and thus we have creation. Love cannot rest. Love goes out creating more life. To say that God is love is to say that God gives life. How important and wonderful it is that we are talking about love as life on a day where we celebrate the love of mothers in many forms. If you think about it, a mother's love creates life, not just in the act of birth. A mother's love creates life throughout the life of the child. It constantly gives life and creates life. Like God's love, a mother's love bounds itself to the life that has been created. That bond isn't just to give to the other, but to be affected by the other, to join in the other in all the joys and all the sufferings that come in life. We understand, do we not, that God sent Jesus to us out of love, right? Think John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, Moltmann is adamant about something regarding that gift of God. God did not give Jesus to suffer. God gave Jesus to love. Suffering, though, and this is something mothers know deep in their heart, suffering is something that by definition happens when you love. Because when you love, you give life to another. When you love, you cannot bear to see them in pain. You give yourself to the one that you love so that they might live. To love is to open yourself to giving truly and freely. It is sharing your life completely. It is simple, undivided joy in goodness. To love is not to sacrifice. But in this world, if you love, inevitably, you will have to sacrifice. Jesus' life, if you think about it, in all of his teachings, in everything that he did leading to Jerusalem, was a life of giving love to those on the outside, to those who needed it.
Jesus didn't live so that he could suffer. Rather, suffering happened to Jesus because he loved in this broken world. When Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer, he wasn't revealing some great plan of God to say, Jesus, you're going to go and suffer. He was speaking the truth of what loving in this world means, a truth that every single mom knows firsthand. In Easter, we remember that truth, that suffering and even death do not have the last word in this world. We remember that God does, that love does. And because of that, love gives life. This day of Ascension is so important because it completes the cycle. God sends Jesus out of love to this world to love. And then after giving life again, God welcomes Jesus back into her arms. Love sent out and love reconciled. Suffering transformed into the beauty of love. Jesus poured out love in ways that are staggering. And the end wasn't just raised to life, but was embraced directly back into the arms of God's love. On Easter, we proclaimed the truth. If I had said my memory of the favorite thing, it was the fact that we proclaim on Easter, Christ is risen, and we know how to respond. Christ is risen? Absolutely. And here on the Ascension Day, we have the chance to see the full implications of what being risen to new life means, that we too will be brought into God's loving arms, that we are caught up in God's love, a love that has no choice but to continue creating life and exalting life, a love that will not let us go. In this story of Jesus' ascension, the disciples stood there. They stood there, and they stared up at the heavens. They watched Jesus be lifted, and they watched him go, and long after he was gone, they were still staring up in the sky. Those two angels robed in white finally had to nudge him and say, guys, you got to go about life. You got to keep on moving. I think they stared at that sky to be strengthened. I think they stared at that sky to remember that God's love in the end wins. I think that's what we do here on the last Sunday in Easter. We pause and we think back to Easter. We pause in wonder and amazement, not quite ready to move on. That we, like the disciples before us, might be strengthened, that we might find wisdom and courage for the road that lies before us too. Remembering that while the Easter season might end, and it's going to, its meaning, God's love, a love that creates life and gives life, never, ever ends. Amen. friends, you may be seated.
Once again, we bring our lives before our loving God, sharing our prayers with God and with one another. Before we enter into that time of prayer, I would ask if anyone has joys or concerns to share, that we might not just pray them today, but in the days to come. Are there joys and concerns this morning?
I have a concern of the passing of a friend of many people here in the church, Vincent Dowling, who started the Miniature Theater of Chester. So many people here know him. Several sat on his board, and he died a couple days ago. So
we lift up Vincent and all who love and care for him. We lift up Irving and his birthday and the joys he brings to our life.
I'd like to keep in our prayers the family of Prim French, a neighbor right here on Main Street, and a really important person in this community, loving, caring artist, and her daughters are still in the area, and all our grandchildren, so I'd like to keep them in our prayers.
Lift the French family and keep them in our prayers. If you remember, today is Irving's 7th birthday. That will help you to remember another festive day. Today is also Ted and Diane's 23rd wedding anniversary. And so we lift up that glorious day. It coincides with another prayer concern, and that is to lift up Diane. You may have noticed she was our reading deacon today. Diane, as you might know, struggles with chronic back pain and problems, and she is laid out today in a particularly difficult spot. And so we lift her up in prayers, and we remember what better day than on an anniversary, to know that they are together, to know that Ted will always be by her side, caring for her and sharing in joys. But we remember Diane, who is struggling in some pain today. Ted also asked me to share two more prayer concerns with you. Ted's sister Serena had what he described as a cardiac event. The doctors are trying to figure out what exactly that event was and what it means. She is undergoing tests in North Carolina. It does not appear to be greatly significant, but nonetheless, it is of concern. And so we ask for prayers for Ted and his family in the midst of that. And also, Ted brought to me prayers for his friend Merlin, who is a carpenter, who has ongoing pain in his shoulder. And Merlin simply came up to Ted and said, "Do you pray in your church?" Ted said, "Well, yes, we do." And said, "Well, then would you pray for me?" And so I ask that you do that for him as well. Obviously, we also ask you to keep Anne in your hearts and prayers in this week to come. If there are no other joys or concerns, let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Gracious God, you who are our mother and our father, we pray on this day with thanksgiving for your presence in our hearts and in our lives. We ask you, God, that you shower down upon us your life-giving love. We ask you that it might fall as plentifully as the rain has fallen here in a dry Berkshire County over the last few days. God, we give you thanks for life and for love and for journey. We give you thanks, God, for our journey as a people. We give you thanks for John Sargent, who believed in equality and pursued an honest and honorable relationship with those who first called this place home. We give you thanks for our ancestors who have come before us, whose lives have been true, lovely, and brave, and upon whose shoulders we stand. We give you thanks today for Anne Brayman, a woman with a kind heart, a woman who cared deeply for all those around her, a woman who gave so much to this place. Merciful God, we pray for those among your people here and throughout the world who are in trouble, who are sick, hungry, broken, or belittled. We pray for children without food or shelter and for adults who cannot find work. God, on this day, we pray for our leaders, that they might lead with mercy and justice, that they might seek to share love more than to gain power. We pray for all those in positions of power and influence, that they might nurture those they care for. On this day, God, we lift up mothers. We know, God, that being a mother is a gift. We know that it comes freighted with concern and care. We know that there is pain that comes with it. We know, God, on this day, that there are people who so desperately want to be mothers. And we know that there are those who have been mothers, even if they have never borne a child. We know that there are mothers who look upon their children's faces with joy, and there are mothers, even in this room, who mourn the passing of their children. God, to be a mother is to be full of love. And we give you thanks for motherhood in all of its glory and in all of its pain. God, we lift up our lives and our love, trusting in the one who you lifted up on Ascension Day, the one we know is the Prince of Peace, the embodiment of love, and the one who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. Friends, for the gifts of love that God has given us through the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, let us respond with gratitude by giving back to God the gifts God has first given to us. This morning's offering will be given and received. gracious and giving God, you have given us all we need for life. Guide us to use what we have gathered here for the well-being of this, your church, for those in need of shelter and food, for all who suffer or are in want, and for the spread of love and beauty. It is in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, our time of worship here within these walls is drawing to a close, that our worship of our God of love may begin anew beyond them. Before you go, a couple of invitations. As always, you are invited to come and join us for food, fellowship, and love right through those doors in that room. And as a reminder, on your way, we invite you to stop by this table and to pick up a flower. A flower in honor of the love of mothers, in honor of you being a mother, in honor of you having a mother, in honor of any mother who has touched your life. Friends, let us close our worship in song. So friends, go ye into the world and tell the story to all believers. Go ye into the world and take the gospel to all the people. And as you go, may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and keep your minds as one in the love that he shares. And let the whole church say, Amen.
Olga's collecting the music, please.
Double church day. Good morning. Beautiful as always this morning. Glorious.
Enjoyable for me because I got to look at my smiling face.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. Steve, thank you for the kind email. We will take you up on that. All right, thank you.
Oh, that's a picture of the virtue school.
Well, hello, I'm Fred.
You are a researcher. My focus is the Holy Shroud of Turin. I've been studying that for almost 10 years. And now I've been, you know, I think the carbon dating that was done in 1988 is finally being seriously questioned. You know, we, the people that are really studying the shroud, know it's already scientifically invalid. So it's going to blow up. It's going to blow up. And I think there was a lot of fraud involved.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Remind me of your name?
Francis. This is my first time here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
glad to have you. Your voice resonated in the prayers.
Nice job.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And good morning. My name is Fred.
Please take one of these lights.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, and the answer for the last one is I do.